SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, January 20th, episode 115 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. And let's get started with the tip-off topics. And here we go, folks. I don't know. I'm kind of getting back in, and I've decided to screw the beam back on. Screw the ball back in. Why? Light the beam is back. Light the Sacramento Kings are on an absolute roll. I don't like what they did to Mike Brown, but if you're going to go and win 9 out of your last 10 games, you have to think that this team has officially turned the corner. Right now, sitting at the 9 seed in the Western Conference, and in that 9 out of 10 game winning streak, folks, they've beaten some good teams. They beat Dallas by 10. They beat Memphis by 5. They went on the road and beat Golden State by 30, right? They beat the Heat in double overtime. They won at Boston by nearly 20 points, right? They beat Houston by 5. So it's not like Sacramento team, the Kings, are beating the Wizards and the Nets of the world. I mean, yeah, they beat the Wizards, you know, but they're playing really, really good basketball, and it sets up an interesting thought. So when you look at the last 10 games for Sacramento, well, who has stepped up? I told you De'Aaron Fox has got to be one of them. De'Aaron Fox is getting you 24 points per game, 5.7, 6.3. Now, those are right in his shooting splits, right? So it's not like that De'Aaron Fox has been on this whirlwind, right? Well, then you look at DeMar DeRozan, who's giving you 23.3 his last 10 games. He was giving you 21.5 for the season. He's shooting it, you know, right at the same clip. So DeMar DeRozan, a guy that we know as an absolute bucket getter, a guy that, remember, folks, Mike Brown was talking about bringing off the bench, has lifted his game. And then there's Domantas Sabonis, right, who is right now averaging 14.2 rebounds per game, best in the NBA, and is getting you 16.3 and 7 assists a night in his last 10 games. So the star players have become the stars that what you thought they were going to be. And then there's lastly Malik Monk. A Malik Monk that's getting you 36 minutes a game, a guy that's one of the preemptive six men in the starting lineup now, right, who's getting you 23 points per game at 44.4% shooting over his last 10. Simply put, the Sacramento Kings are playing better basketball. And it brings up an interesting bet right now. I told you before the season, the Kings were going to win the Pacific Division. Folks, they are now sitting in third place, 3 games out of the loss column, at plus 550 to win the Pacific Division. And I'm here to say that I think they are playing much better basketball. There are talks about trying to get someone like a Cam Johnson to come in and play on that team. You have to look at the Sacramento Kings have the second hardest schedule the rest of the way in the division, 8th toughest in the NBA. But they're playing good basketball. Folks, I'm back. Light the beam, plus 550 to win the Pacific Division. Let's stay out west with Ja Morant, which a team in the Memphis Grizzlies that I always say, when they're healthy, they're really good. Well, right now, Ja is out. Ja's missed his 18th game. Why is that significant, folks? Once you miss 18 games in a season, you're not eligible for end-of-season awards. What also can mean is it can affect extensions, supermax, how much money you can get. So a Memphis Grizzlies team that right now is at 27-15, third place in the Western Conference, And now looking at their standings in the division, in the Southwest, is a game behind Houston. Well, Houston should be the play to win this division. You need your best players to be healthy, and I think this is going to be something you're going to have to deal with. Also remember that the Memphis Grizzlies have the third hardest schedule the rest of the way of the NBA, with the strength of schedule winning percentage of opponents of 524, according to Tankathon. They have to be healthy. They need Ja. They don't have Ja. They can't make a deep run. Time to start thinking about Houston, a team that I told everyone they were going to go over their win total, but they're going to smash that thing. Maybe you need to start looking at Houston as a team to beat in the Southwest Division. Let's head to college basketball, and we have Major Madness Saturday. Upset specials. Five upsets, I would say, that took place in college basketball. Iowa State goes on the road, loses at Morgantown, 64-57. Santa Clara, 103-99, go on the road, beat Gonzaga. Xavier, with a 59-57 win at Marquette. Creighton, going on the road and beating UConn, 68-63. And then lastly, Vanderbilt, 76-75 over Tennessee. So if there was a game that's going to be the least shocking, it's Creighton. Folks, Creighton is the top 15 team going into the season. Creighton's got Ryan Kalkbrenner, the best defensive center in college basketball. Creighton's got Ashworth as a starting guard as dynamite. Now they're missing Pop Isaacs, a transfer from Texas Tech, but they got more than enough scores, and they have Greg McDermott, one of the best coaches in the country. Them winning at UConn should not shock you. What should shock you is Gonzaga losing back-to-back games in the league. That should shock you. Xavier, even though they got Sean Miller, coach his ass off, going and beating Marquette, that should shock you. West Virginia, DeVries is a hell of a coach. They played that game slow. And the Vanderbilt winning at home. Those should all be shockers. Simply put, folks, this is going to happen. It's going to happen a lot in college basketball because of the parity that we have and the transfer portal and moving kids in and out. I will say this, especially with that UConn loss and that Marquette loss. I've been telling y'all, I said it last week, they're in the top 25. St. John's is going to win the Big East tournament. They are just playing at such a level now that I think is absolutely fantastic. Let's end the tip-off topics talking about Paige Beckers. A Paige Beckers that broke a milestone being getting 2,000 points in 102 career games, fastest than any UConn player. So where does that put Paige? I'm going to tell you this right now. This does not even put Paige on the Mount Rushmore of players. You know who's on the Mount Rushmore? It's Sue Bird and what she's done. It's Diana Taurasi and national championships, those two won together and arguably the best college backcourt of all time. It's Maya Moore, who didn't retire from the WNBA, you would say is a top 10 player in WNBA history. And it's Breanna Stewart, who's got four MVP, most outstanding players to play MOPs, and four Final Fours. As great as Paige Beckers is, and she may lead the team to a national championship, she's not on the Mount Rushmore of UConn greatest players, and she will not be unless she wins a national championship, and she still won't pass those four. Coming up after the commercial break, we'll get into our awards tour. We'll look at the Pacific Division. Hint, hint, I'm going back to the Kings once again. We'll look at another division in the NBA. We'll look at the futures market in regards to both the Heat going under and another team going over. We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, and it's time to get into our award tour, where I look at the future markets in the NBA and in college. Let's stick with the NBA today. Let's take a look at a couple of futures races in divisions. I kind of talked about this a little bit in our tip-off topics, but let's kind of do a deeper dive, and let's start with the Pacific Division, where the favorites right now are the Los Angeles Clippers at plus 115. Then you have the Lakers at plus 340, Sacramento at plus 5.5, Phoenix at 7-1, along with Golden State. So when you take a look at the most balanced division in, I would say, the NBA, why is it like this with a team like the Clippers who are the favorite? Well, the Clippers have the 13th toughest schedule the rest of the way. They're playing really good basketball, but I can't touch them with Kawhi and their craziness. Then you go to the Lakers, the most consistent, inconsistent team that there is in the NBA. Golden State, just not a believer in them. And then there's the Suns and the Kings. I'm going to go with the Kings. I told you, I think that they're playing much better basketball. I know they have the 8th toughest schedule the rest of the way, but we talked about how they won 9 of the last 10. And De'Aaron Fox is playing like De'Aaron Fox. Sabonis has upped his game. DeRozan has upped his game. Monk has upped his game. And I think that Sacramento is going to end up making a trade. Hint, hint, Cam Johnson. So when I look at this team, I have to think that they're the best team in that division. I thought so going in. I thought that the Clippers had question marks in regards to not having PG and the fact that Harden getting old and Kawhi being Kawhi, right? The Lakers didn't have enough shooting. The Golden State Warriors come to their age and injury concerns with Phoenix. All those things are still in play. And so is the fact that I think Sacramento could be the best team in that division. Right now, with three games out of the loss column, plus 550. Even though they have the toughest schedule, second toughest schedule in the division behind Phoenix, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take them at plus 550 to win the Pacific. Next, I was going to go to the Southwest Division, but I want to come back because I want to stay in the Pacific Division, and I want to bring up the Suns. Because the Suns right now are sitting at, you know, Matty George, who does, I can't thank Matty enough for what he does for me in this podcast. Brought up an interesting fact. On January 1st, when we talked about the Phoenix Suns, it was minus 138 for them to make the playoffs, plus 122 not to. Now, as of today, it's flipped. It's plus 112 to make it, minus 138 to miss it. I'm here to tell you, I'm jumping at a plus 112. I like the addition of Nick Richards. I think he gives them what they need. I think Nurkic is going to be gone. I like what Iguodaro and Dunn have brought to the plate for this team. I really believe in my heart that they're going to make the playoffs. I know they're getting rolled right now by Cleveland. But I believe in this team making the playoffs. I think with KD, D-Book, and Beal, and if it's not Beal, it's probably Jimmy Butler, they got enough to get them to the finish line and just make the final eight. That's all I need. It doesn't matter if they finish 9-10. I just need them to win. If they're 9-10, win two games in a play-in. I know they got the toughest schedule. But if they don't win this year, after swapping out coaches again, right? Going from Monty Williams to Frank Vogel to Mike Budenholzer, they have to make this work. And it'll be an epic failure if they don't make the playoffs. That's why I'm in. Give me the Suns at plus 110 to make the playoffs. Let's go back to the Southwest Division, where Houston now, after the injuries to Ja Morant and what's going on, is now the favorite at minus 130 to win the Southwest. Grizzlies are plus 125. Mavericks 14-1. San Antonio New Orleans, how you doing? Not doing good, because you're not going to win. It's Houston. It's Houston. It's Houston. It's Houston. Why, you ask, folks? It's simply put, Ime Udoka has done as good of a job with his team as any team in the NBA. They're 28-14. They play damn good basketball, and they got not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. I think it's seven. I lost count. I think it's seven guys that are averaging double figures in scoring. That's Green, Şengün, Van Vliet, Dylan Brooks, Thompson, Jabari, Tari Eason, Cam Whitmore. I'm sorry, I can't count. That's eight. So they can lock you up. And then you can put 10 guys, or 8 guys to get you 10 points or more a game? Shout out to my man, Ime Udoka. He may not treat women right, but he knows how to coach a goddamn basketball team. That team's going to win the division, the Houston Rockets. And while I love Heat culture, and I love Pat Riley, except for when he left the Knicks in 95 to go to Miami, I am jumping off the Heat culture. I am saying plus 205 for ready, folks, for the Miami Heat to miss the playoffs. They're sitting right now in eighth place. I think Philadelphia will find its way into the top 10 and maybe win a playing game or two, because they got to make it. And I am now being a big believer in Detroit. I think the Jimmy Butler thing is a mess, and Riles is playing with fire, and they're all going to get burned by their own Heat. Miami Heat plus 205 to not make the playoffs. Coming up, we have the scouting report. We'll talk about a big game in the SEC between Vanderbilt and Alabama. We'll take a look at Utah versus Houston. And then we'll take a look at Xavier and St. John's. And lastly, we'll look at TCU women. They're back in action. Number 9 in the country. We'll be back with our scouting report after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, and it's time to get into our scouting report where we break down the top games in the NBA and college over the next couple of days, and we're going to stick with a college focus as we have a big Tuesday on tap in men's college basketball. Let's start off with a big one in the SEC. Vanderbilt, fresh off their 76-75 win at Tennessee, heads to Bama. They head on Nate Oates' crew at 15-3 and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And a team in Alabama that is playing relatively well. I know they lost that game versus Ole Miss. I just thought that line was way too heavy. But coming off a 102-97 win versus Kentucky, the key thing when you look at Alabama here, folks, is their ability to score. This is going to be a mismatching style, right? Alabama scores about 90 points per game. Vanderbilt gives up about 67.8. And if you look at some of the games that they've played as of late, the most points that have been given up in the last five games by Vanderbilt has been 80. You look at Alabama last five games, 107, 88, 94, 64, that loss to Ole Miss, and 102. I think it's really hard to contain Nate Oates' team that's so heavily reliant on the three-point shot. When you have Mark Sears getting you 19 points a game, Grant Nelson getting you 12.7, Philon giving you 11.6, Wright Cell, who's hurt, giving you 11.5, Aiden Holloway transfer from Auburn, getting you 10.8. You know, you're getting a lot of scoring from a lot of different ways here. So I'm going to look at Alabama to go over their team total in their game versus Vanderbilt. Next game up, Utah versus Houston. Folks, the warden, Kelvin Sampson, is back. I talked about it a little bit last time out. I know they gave it up more than the 65 points, but I just look at that matchup between Utah and Houston on Wednesday night, and I just look at the fact of Houston's going to struggle. Utah, who scores at about 80 points per game, is going to struggle to score against a team that's giving up 55. This should probably be at about a 60, 62 and a half point total for Utah. If that is the case, run and take the under. You look at Houston's games and you pull it up, averaging about 135.4 points per game. So I look for that game to go way, way, way under, especially with Utah. Look for them to go team total under as Calvin Sampson plays the role that he wants to play, which is slow the game down. Let's go to Xavier at St. John's. St. John's fresh into the top 25. Rick Pitino's team 16-3 after they just beat the brakes off of Seton Hall by about 30 at the Rock. Taking on Sean Miller. And his team was playing really good basketball at 12-7. Simply put, folks, I told you, I think St. John's is right now playing the best team in the Big East. I would not be in their way. I think that this is a team that is playing relatively well. They've won a bunch of games in a row. Last game they lost was at Creighton, now it's by one. And they can win close games. Look for St. John's minus the points. And then lastly, to the women, TCU at Oklahoma State. Oh, TCU should get the win in the cover. They're playing really good ball. It brings up something that's been pretty, I've talked about, and that's the development of Mark Campbell. Mark Campbell has what they call a down at Fort Worth, a triple threat. That is Sedona Prince, that is Haley Van Lith, and that's Madison Connor. Look at those stats of where they are in the top 12, each player in at least four statistical categories. Remember this, folks. Sedona Prince couldn't get more than 10 points a game in Oregon. Maddie Connor couldn't get more than 10 minutes a game in Arizona. And we saw what happened to Van Lith. Shout out to my guy, Mark Campbell and Chavi Lopez, what they're doing at TCU. Lastly, really quick, Dawn Staley got the bag. Best contract in women's college basketball. It's about damn time. She's the best coach in college basketball, men or women. And they've got a funny stipulation. She's got to pay all the money back unless she takes a head job or assistant job in the NBA or in college basketball in the men's side or the WNBA. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for January 20th. For all things sports gambling, please download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. This podcast is at 115 episodes, and I can't thank all the people at Sports Grid, the listening audience, Rebecca Harrelson, Greg Sussman, Mike Carnado, but especially Maddie George, my producer, and all the people behind the scenes that helped this be a great podcast. But the best part, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.